WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. Irving Berlin, George M. Cohan, Will Rogers, George Burns, Groucho Marx, Bob Hope, and Frank Sinatra are some of the former members of the Friars Club. It's a private club for people in show business that's most famous for its testimonial roasts. The most recent Friars Club roast skewers Jerry Stiller, and it airs this Wednesday on Comedy Central. A new documentary film about the Friars will premiere tomorrow on Cinemax. In a few minutes, we'll meet comic Freddie Roman, dean of the New York Friars, and comic Jeffrey Ross, known for his hilarious insults at the Friars' roasts. First, let's hear a conversation Terry had recently with Dean Ward, the director of the new documentary about the Friars, Let Me In, I Hear Laughter.
When you decided to go ahead with the movie, whose permission did you have to get to be a fly on the wall at the Friars Club?
I had gone to school in New York, but I had moved to Los Angeles, and I went into the Los Angeles Friars Club, and I told them, you know, I've always been fascinated by the Friars Club. I'd love to make a documentary, and somebody there quickly toured me around the building, and I just couldn't believe that they were, you know, that I had access and that they were showing me around. And that very same day, they introduced me to Milton Berle, took me over to his table, and I sat with him for about an hour and a half, and I was just in heaven. And It was from that point on that they, you know, they welcomed the idea that I wanted to do it. And I think they liked the fact that I was young. I'm 29 now. I was 25 at the time. And I had really done my homework because I'd just grown up reading everything I could get my hands on about the Friars Club and about the individual members. So they seemed to really respond to the fact that I was young and very interested in their history.
And they responded to the fact that you were young because so many members of the Friars Club are really old.
The joke at that time, and it's starting to change now, but the joke at that time was that the average age at the club is deceased, which was a joke that Milton Berle used to say at a lot of the roasts. And but now things are changing quite a bit. Jeffrey Ross, who's always a big hit at the roasts here in New York and sometimes in California, he comes out for them. And people like Janine Garofalo have started to join, and it's really becoming a hip thing for, I think, younger comedians who really want to feel a connection to the Milton Berles and the Buddy Hacketts. And, you know, sort of learn what they can from those people who have such an incredible legacy. They're all swarming to the Friars Club now.
So what's some of the best memorabilia you were able to find and footage that you were able to find of old Friars Club meetings and roasts?
One of the greatest things that I was able to, I'm proud I was able to do is use a lot of audio tapes and photographs to sort of recreate roasts where there weren't cameras present, because in the very early days, especially for performers like Jack Benny and George Burns, who in their regular careers on television worked very clean, they didn't want cameras anywhere near the roasts because sometimes the material could get dirty, especially if it was the afternoon stag roasts back in the early days where it was men only. And so through different comedy collectors and historians, I was able to find these audio recordings that, I guess at the time, what would happen is a member of the club would, I guess, essentially sneak a tape recorder in so that they could show their friends afterwards and sort of brag about, you know, what they heard. And a lot of these tapes have been preserved and passed along to different comedy collectors, and I got my hands on some of those, like a 1955 roast for Humphrey Bogart, where Lauren Bacall, because she was a woman and it was a stag roast, couldn't be there present at that time, but actually taped a recorded greeting that they played at the roast, which was hysterical, where she got a little blue, and it was the hit of the roast. And, finding things like that the public, you know, might not be aware of, or certainly, you know, most people haven't heard, was pretty exciting.
Why don't we hear that Lauren Bacall tape?
This is Lauren Bacall. Yes, Mrs. Bogart, the uninvited guest. You rat bastards. I said, Bogey, why can't I go? He said, baby, it's gonna be a little rough. You know how men act at a stag. So that's why women aren't allowed. See? Well, I was furious. In fact, I was goddamn mad. What the hell can the Friar say that you haven't called me?
That's Lauren Bacall from a roast of her then-husband, Humphrey Bogart, part of the audio tape that's used in the new documentary Let Me In, I Hear Laughter, a salute to the Friars Club. And my guest is the filmmaker, Dean Ward. What year was the Friars Club founded, and what was the official reason for its founding?
My understanding, it was founded in 1904, and it was actually founded by a group of press agents originally, because there was a scandal going on in the theater community where people were claiming to be press agents in order to get free tickets to Broadway shows. So the press agents formed a union sort of called the Press Agents Association to put a stop to what they called pass grafters, which were people who were scamming these free tickets. And gradually, these press agents invited their clients, who were all entertainers, to be in the club. And in a matter of a few years, it became known as the Friars Club. And George M. Cohan and Irving Berlin and Will Rogers and people like that were sort of the early celebrity members.
Do you know why it was called the Friars Club?
I don't, and it's one of those things where it's people have tried to figure out why it's called the Friars Club, and they almost can't anymore because there's so many mythological stories circulating around why it is. The only thing I can think of that makes any sense is they call the clubhouse the monastery, and I think they just it seemed like a nice way for them to label the kind of fraternity that they wanted it to be, and the sort of private institution that they wanted it to be, the entertainers. So I'm not sure technically where they came up with Friars, but there's all kinds of funny stories in a book by Joey Adams that tries to explain, but nobody really ever gets to the bottom of it.
What's some of the favorite lore that you dug up about the Friars Club?
One of the great stories, which is a segment in the documentary, is about a radio comedian named Harry Einstein, who went by the name of Parky Yakarkis, and the interesting thing about it is he had a son named Albert Einstein, who is now known as Albert Brooks. Harry Einstein, which was Albert Brooks' dad, it was 1958, and he was asked to come to the Friars Club to perform at a roast for Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, and this was at the Friars Club in California. And he had some health problems, but, Lucille Ball and he were close, and she had asked him to come. And he got up at the roast, and everybody says he was just the absolute hit of the roast. And in just one of those, classic show business stories, after literally destroying the audience and being as funny as anybody had ever been at a Friars Club roast, he sat down after several standing ovations next to Milton Berle. He sat down and slumped over and passed away on the dais. And Albert Brooks tells the story that it's just, to him, this great thing to be a comedian, to go out that way. But then the ironic thing that has made the story so famous over the years is, while there were several heart doctors in the audience and they were trying to resuscitate him backstage, and while this was all going on, they were trying to, ease the audience's concerns. And Milton Berle turned to a singer named Tony Martin and said, "Tony, get up and sing a song. Do something to distract the audience." And without thinking, Tony Martin got up and sang his hit song at the time, which was called "There's No Tomorrow," which couldn't have been more inappropriate. And so that story is one that's often told. And Milton Berle particularly likes to tell it every time. You ask him what his favorite Friars Club story is.
Now, you said you started to make this movie because you've always been interested in pop culture from the 1930s and other decades of the past. I'm wondering how you got interested in that in the first place.
I don't really know, except that I worked at a synagogue when I was growing up in a town called Brookline outside of Boston. And the superintendent at the building used to always listen to a radio station that played a lot of Frank Sinatra. And for some reason, it resonated with me, and I became a junkie. And by the time I was 18 years old, I had seen Frank Sinatra in concert 5 or 6 times, not being dragged there by my parents, totally by choice. I would go and get my own tickets and everything. And just loved old movies, and through old movies, read as much as I could about the stars and the directors of old movies. And that's what led me to my fascination with the Friars Club, because in every biography of any star you can name, there's always a Friars Club story, at least 1 or 2 pages about when they were roasted or when they were honored. And it's always the most irreverent 1 or 2 pages in the book, because it's when their friends got together and said things about them that they wouldn't otherwise say. So to me, it just seemed like the most fascinating place in the world. And so I always wanted to go there because I thought for somebody like me who liked old time show business, it would just be like the most amazing sort of interactive show business theme park. If you wanted to sit down, if you wanted to go on sort of the Birth of Television ride, you would go up and pull up a chair next to Milton Berle. Or if you wanted to go on the Frank Sinatra ride, you would grab Alan King and say, "Hey, what was it like to work with Frank Sinatra?" And you had all these people at your disposal that could, sort of transport you back to those days and make you feel more a part of it than you would just reading about it.
So did you start speaking showbiz speak while hanging out with the people from the Friars Club and making your movie?
I learned a lot of Yiddish. I learned a lot of Yiddish expressions, which, being Irish growing up, I didn't know until recently. I'm trying to think what else. But No, not really. I think I didn't really learn any new lingo.
She should. Should I test your Yiddish and get you to tell a joke with a Yiddish punchline?
My favorite Yiddish story relating to this is I knew I was going to have fun when I showed up at Buddy Hackett's house in Beverly Hills to do the interview, and I'd only talked to him on the phone, and I don't think he knew I was quite so young, and he was probably expecting somebody older because of the subject matter of the documentary and everything. And he opened up his door, and I was standing there with my cameraman, and he said, "Wow, you're a young schmuck." And so, I knew I was gonna have a good time doing this.
What a way to start.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed the film, and I want to thank you very much for talking with us about it.
Oh, terrific. Well, thank you. Thank you for helping spread the word.
Dean Ward directed the new documentary about the Friars Club, Let Me In, I Hear Laughter. It premieres tomorrow on Cinemax. This is Fresh Air.